Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. For most of us, life is no easy voyage. We have our ups and downs and struggles all around. And for many of us, we hold on to faith in something greater than us to get through the hard times, whether that be God or the universe. This week's story comes from a dear friend of mine, Mahanre, who has had an especially hard go of life. Now, this story is so deep that it went extra long, so today's episode is part one, and next week we will have the second part of Mahanre's story. Here's Mahanre.
Okay, awesome. So, my name is Mahanre. I was actually originally born in Mexico, Veracruz, by the Gulf of Mexico. And today, I will actually go on to talk about a personal story I've never told before to anybody, actually. It's going to be the first time. The story is pretty much about how the gospel actually has helped me a lot in my life and how some experiences got me to here where I am today. That's going to be my story for today. So we'll start off with, when I got here to the U.S., I was like 10 years old. And the first state I arrived to was Tennessee. So in Tennessee, I was actually one of the only Hispanic kids in the entire town. And a lot of people, thankfully, were actually really welcoming. A lot of people thought that it was really weird to see somebody with black hair, just different, like darker features. Everybody was just blonde or brunette, but nobody really had black hair. So people thought it was pretty cool. But throughout those entire years, I was actually in Tennessee for 5 years. And during those 5 years, I started school there. It was in fifth grade and then finished school there in eighth. Now, the problem was that my parents thought about something. And the fact was that I wasn't going to be able to go to college in Tennessee. So they were thinking about other options. And one of those options was actually to move to Texas. In my entire life, actually, it was a hard transition to move to another country, but then move out to another state. So I was in Texas and just once in my life. So during that time, when I was in Texas, when we finally arrived in 2016, fast forward, it was the first, I needed to attend high school. So that was like, when I arrived to Texas, I knew that I needed to go to high school. So I was pretty afraid. I didn't know what school I needed to attend. My family was super poor. We weren't able to afford food. So my dad actually... my family and I, we stayed at my dad's half-sister's house for a couple months or 4 or 3 months. And during those entire time, like during those days, it was pretty harsh. I could tell you for a fact, there was a lot of arguments. There was a lot of confusion at the time, resentment. I knew my mom at that time was maybe mad at my dad because she just really felt like she didn't need to leave Tennessee. And that we were just in such worse situation. And so at that time, when I was 14, when I got there, my older cousin, her name was Giselle, or is Giselle. She actually mentioned to my parents that she was attending high school. And so actually at that time, that high school was named Energy Institute High School. And so Energy Institute High School is actually one of the first high schools in the U.S. that was fully focused on engineering programs. So to actually do engineering yourself, not just to study it, but to actually deal with it. And so for me, that was like, whoa, that's like beyond my level. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I'm capable. I don't think I'm like smart enough to do those things. They told me, you know, what do you have to lose? Just go ahead and just try to see if you apply. You can apply and then... if they accept you. And so it was a private program. It was a magnet school. And so I remember one day I went and then I was in the cafeteria with my parents and my cousin was there. And I was waiting for one of the instructors to come get me and to get a math test. And so with that math test was just to place me in a certain category of where my math level was. So turns out that my math level was in such a low level. So I was really ashamed about that. I was never really good at math. Now, when that happened, they were pretty much making a gambling of names. So they gambled the names, and they were just going to pick like a couple people to get into the Magnet School. And so turns out that a couple days later, they told me that I was finally accepted into the program. Now, till this day, I do believe that that was a miracle, because there was almost no possible way for me to get into that program. Now, since I didn't knew anybody in Texas, Texas was still a super new place to me, a whole new world. It was a bigger city. It was a whole different culture, a whole different culture of people and the type of people I had to deal with. And during that time, the first couple of days started to attend high school, it was so different. Everything was just so different. Everybody, I guess also it was a little more ghetto. So it was definitely a lot different from Tennessee, small country town. But when I did my first year, I actually ended up failing that program. And so since I ended up failing that program, I was actually ended up getting kicked out of the program. And so the last day I just got on the bus and I just went home, and I got home and I told my parents, look, I failed the program. I just can't pass. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm dropping out of high school. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to turn 15. I'm already about to turn 15. I don't know what to do. But I understand if you want to kick me out of the house. It is what it is. So, that was like a situation where I was in at that time when I was 15. I actually took a whole year off. I didn't go to school. I was like completely set. I was like, I'm not going back to high school. I just don't think I can do school. So, during that time, I started to then get into more hobbies, during that time I was out of high school, and that was like making music, I guess reading a little more, and actually just writing songs, something new to me. And so that really inspired me, because Houston, you know, Houston has such a big music culture. You know, everything is like such a big culture about music, hip hop, rap. So that really caught my attention at that time. So I started to get involved with that. So I started to meet people that would make music. Some of the friends that I met made music. They were into that stuff. So I really got like really intrigued about it. But the time that I was still 15, I actually received a letter. And in that letter, I remember getting the mail. And I remember the letter say HCC. So HCC stands for Houston Community College. And so I was like, wait, I haven't even graduated high school, but I'm getting the Houston like, Community College letter? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. So I opened the letter and I read the letter itself. And it pretty much says that they were offering another opportunity to me to recover my credits that I didn't acquire in high school, and giving me another opportunity to actually get back into school so I could finish my education. And that the program was fully focused on finishing school quick so I can get a job, or I can just go to college or community college, whatever the case was. And so I didn't know what to think about that until my dad came and he was like, what is that? And so I remember showing my dad the letter, and he saw the letter and he was like, huh, you know, maybe God is trying to tell you something, man. And maybe he's giving you another chance. You know, these things don't happen too often. So I would consider it, you know. If you consider yourself an adult, then make your choices now. And so at that time, I honestly didn't know what to do. I was totally confused. I didn't have any vision of my future. I didn't have any plans. So, and in the least thing I had was a relationship with God. So that's that was one of the biggest parts too. And after I considered the letter and the opportunity that was offered to me, it took me about 3 days or four. And on the last day that I finally took the decision, I made the decision to just reach out and go in person. And so I made the process of like, you know, going in person, signing up for like this program. It was like a high school, but you know, it was a program offered to like, just get you out of school quick. Cool. What happened the first year? First year, I totally failed. Again, But I was still in school and I still needed to continue to get my credits. That's what they were trying to focus on. They just wanted me out of school. They just wanted to make sure that I graduated. During those times during high school too, I was actually introduced to some certain amount of people and some certain people specifically. And I was introduced into a whole world where led me to really make like the wrong decisions. And during the time that I was still in high school, I was actually dealing with gang members. I was also dealing with a lot of, actually some mafia members too. And during that time, I was actually getting myself in a lot of trouble. I remember a lot of the kids were getting fights. I remember being, when I was younger, I remember like people would get like in shootouts in the gas stations. I remember as well, we were in the car and we got shot up one night. And so, you know, those things were, you know, stuck with me still till this day. But I remember that I just was so confused about what I was doing because I knew I needed to finish high school first. But there was something else that I didn't understand. And I was like, there's something I just don't, that I'm not getting. The high school can be one thing. What happens after I finish high school, right? That was the question I was asking. Like, what do I do after that? What is really my purpose? You know, what do I need to do? And so during the age that, at the time that I had, like I was 15 years old, I remember going to church and I remember somebody on a Sunday, I remember going to one of the benches at the very back and I just sat down and I waited for sacrament to start. Sacrament went, was passed around. I didn't take the sacrament. I just refused to do such thing at that time. And when the speakers were finally were introduced and they were talking about a topic about the atonement of Jesus Christ, it's pretty much one of them I remember mentioning about a patriarchal blessing. So I was like, whoa, what is that? Like, what is a patriarchal blessing? You know, and I was just like, well, that's really intriguing. And when I got, well, after church services, we just went back home. So as we got home, I remember sitting down on the couch and I was just still thinking about that. I was like, wait, that sounds like a patriarchal blessing. The way he's like explained it to me, it just sounded like, whoa, it sounds like God just predicted his future. So I'm like, whoa, actually I want to like have that. So I was like, I want, I'm pretty curious, but I don't know how that works. And I remember my father coming up to me and he was like, you ever thought about like getting a patriarchal blessing? A patriarchal blessing? No, not really. I don't know what it is really, but I just heard of it. And he proceeded to explain what it is. And he explained that, you know, the patriarchal blessing was one of those things that once in a lifetime opportunity where God directly speaks to you. And I thought that was amazing. I was like, wait, really? And my dad was, yeah, I'm being serious about that. And so I was just intrigued about the idea. And I did believe in God. I just didn't believe that he really like loved me. I didn't believe that he really cared about me. So at the age of 15 still, I then asked my father to help me get a patriarchal blessing. And then he set up an appointment later on, a couple days later, with the bishop. And the bishop then got in contact with me personally. And I was reaching out to see how I was doing. And asked me, hey, when do you have time to meet up? So that way we are able to talk about this patriarchal blessing you need. And it was intriguing because he said that, like, that you want. He says that you need. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'd say, actually, we can do it tomorrow if possible. I want to actually do this as soon as possible. And so he did interview me. He talked to me. We talked about it. Then was even more intrigued about the idea. And I just want to hear God himself talk to me. And honestly, the first time, the day came for the day when I got the patriarchal blessing. And it was on, I think it was on a Tuesday. Or it was like March 24th. I can't remember. But I remember getting going into this humble house. It was still a pretty big, nice house, but I went in and it was really cozy. As soon as I got in, I was like, whoa, this is such a nice house. And there was like a hymn playing in the background. And the patriarch's wife actually came up to us, and she was so sweet and so nice. I just felt like I was a whole different world. I'm like, I'm coming from this life to like this super humble, like lovely people. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah, it felt really different. But when I was there, the first thing the patriarch says, welcome. I'm actually honored that you're here. And I'm like, whoa, I've never had anybody in my life said that. So I was like, wow, I really do feel honored. So when the patriarch was talking to my family and I, he asked to have a moment alone with me and just talk about what's a patriarchal blessing, what's this going to be, how it can help me in my life. And we had a good conversation. I really loved that. I still remember the conversation till this day. When the time came when I got the actual patriarchal blessing, I kid you not, that was the first time I actually ever realized that there was actually a lot more to life than the things that I was thinking about. There was a lot more blessings that were coming my way that I didn't realize about. And when I heard like the words that was said in that patriarchal blessing, I realized that I was being a very ungrateful. I was a very ungrateful being. I felt so little. I felt so small. I felt so unworthy. But at the same time, I had this sensation of love and peace and comfort. And I had like the sensation that everything will be okay. And after that event happened, actually, I continued with my education in high school, but I was still struggling with one thing, and that was passing school. And I really was like, God, if these things are true, you're telling me I'm going to graduate. I have to graduate. So how am I supposed to graduate when I'm not even smart enough or intelligent enough to do these things? And like, I'm dealing with some other things in my personal life that I understand maybe they're not the best. But I'm doing my very best to do what I can. And so when I went, when I continued to go to school, I got to the point where the principal actually told me that I was going to fail and that I was going to be officially get kicked out of the program and that I was going to be prohibited from attending high school again in the state. And so when she told me that, I got pretty scared because if that was the case, then I then was like, you know, I'm done for. I'm getting no high school diploma or GED. And then I'm prohibited to go back to school, even though I'm 17 at that time. And then I cannot, get a good job. And so that really scared me. I was in fear at that time. And so the principal gave me one option and I was like, you know, look, I have one last chance for you, but you have to take it, but it's not going to be as easy as you think. And I was thinking, well, what is it? So she told me that I needed to attend different places around Houston and it was different buildings, which means there were different high schools. And so I started to attend another program named On Time Grad. And On Time Grad was actually another program that was focused for people that didn't graduate high school. So if you were like 25, you just went back and you like trying to get your diploma, not a GED, your diploma. So I was put in there and I was actually one of the youngest students. Everybody else, you know, some of them had kids already. Some of these people already had a life going on. And some people were just starting a family. Some people were planning to get married. Some girls, I remember seeing like they were one of them was pregnant. I'm like, dude, what am I doing here? Like what the crap? So I'm asking myself, why am I here in this place when I should be back in my actual school, actually studying? And then I realized, you know what? God told me I'm gonna graduate. So you know what? I'll do it. So I then started to do the classes, attend the classes. And then as time passed by, I went went back to my actual school a couple months later. And as that happened, I was caught up. And they told me, look, you just need to finish the rest of the school year and then you'll graduate. And I was like, dude, absolutely. And I remember that. I remember those specific days. Those specific days, everybody was planning about, you know, where how are we going to celebrate after we graduate, or where are we going to go, or what place we're going to meet up at. You know, what people were making plans of, like, hey, we should take pictures here and there. Other people were making plans to, like, maybe travel, spend time with their families. And some of the people already planning to go to college and, like, you know, make a plan to just, like, attend a job. Some people have other job opportunities. And everybody's buying their coats and, you know, like, their hat. What do they call those? The hats, cabs? But I don't know. But graduation cab, I guess. But to me, I was like, yes, I want to do that. I want to buy my stuff. Where is my code? You know, where's my graduation code? So I remember just going to the office and I'm like, where's my graduation code? What? And then one of the secretaries is like, oh, what is your name? So I told her, like, oh, my name is Mahandra. Oh, okay, yeah, let me look you up. And so they had a whole list of graduation, right? And guess what? I was not in that graduation list. And they told me, look, you're actually not in that graduation list. So I was just like, what do you mean I'm not in the graduation list? Well, that's what I mean. You're not in the graduation list, unfortunately. And I'm like, how is that possible? I went to another program for a couple months. I recovered my credits. What is going on? It turns out that I was not caught up completely. I was actually about, I was 19 credits in out of 24 or 22.5. And 22.5 was like the bare minimum. So you can get out of like school. Like 24 was like average, right? And so I was just like, are you kidding me? That's what they're like, well, just, first of all, you're not passing classes. That's what we look in the system. And you're failing like a couple classes right now and you're supposed to finish them off. You're supposed to pass them. And if you pass those classes that you're in right now, then yeah, you're able to get your credits. But if you don't, then there's no graduation for you. It's just pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward. And so I remember I go back home and dude, I kid you not. I was so mad. I was not even sad. I was mad. I was mad about the fact they told me, you know, you can't graduate. You can't get your code. I'm like, why? I worked so hard for this. And I remember that one night also I got on my knees. I'm like, God, if you don't get me out of this place, I don't know what else to do. I really don't. I'm trying to do my very best, but it doesn't seem like things are working. Well, the next day I go to school again, and I remember seeing everybody getting graduation codes. Everybody's getting their stuff. And I'm like, dude, I'm one of the few people that I'm not. And then that made me sad. And I didn't know how to tell my mom how I was not going to graduate. And yeah, fast forward with that, I actually did not end up graduating. I actually ended up failing. And on the day of graduation, which I still remember till this day, it was like around June 6th or so of 2019. Everybody else was graduating except me. And I remember just going to the bathroom and I remember just trying to shower. And I remember just sitting in the bathtub, I was just sitting there by myself and I was alone at home. It was like a hot shower. And I didn't want to pick up my phone because everybody's Instagram, you know, was popping off. You know, Instagram, the only Instagram stories and photos that was popping off in my feed was like people graduating, taking pictures with friends, family members, and how they made it. I'm like, you know what, God, if I can't do it, then yeah, then I'm sorry. Maybe I did fail you, or I don't know what to do. I'm gonna go back to the things that I was doing. So, and if that's something you don't like, then tell me right now. Because if that's the case, then I'll make the decision right now, and that's gonna be my life from now on. And so, and I really did not want to go back. I was not in a position where. I actually felt safe either. I was dealing with that at the same time. And I was also dealing with like some threats that I was receiving I was actually dealing with some losses that I had. I lost two friends of mine during that time of 2019, due to dumb decisions that I made as a younger person. But in the meantime, when those things were happening, I still needed to finish school. And you know, the more I talk about school, I understand it seems like the more the main topic. But the reason why I go such in detail with school is because later on, I then started to attend like the very last program that they offered me. And I started attending school 24/7. I'm being dead serious. I was attending school from Sunday to like Sunday. And it was like from like 8 hours straight. And I needed to do attendance, catch up with attendance, work, and like credits, and I don't know what else. And so I did my very best. Cool. I graduated in August 13th, 2019. Finally.
I'd like to thank Mahanrai for his story up to this point. To hear the rest of his story, be sure to tune in to part 2 next week. This story arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Mahanrai, for sharing his story. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.